Take your Bibles with me tonight. Turn to the book of Job, please. The book of Job and chapter number 39. Job chapter 39. Job chapter 39. And Job chapter 39. We're going to start reading in verse number 13, Job chapter 39. This week, we visited with the Harrises and went to Tucson and met with the Harris family and before they went back down into Mexico. And when we left Tucson, we saw a sign on the side of the road. And that was the sign, right? It was Rooster Cogburn's Ostrich Ranch. Whoa, go back, all right? And we went to this ranch. Go ahead and slide through a few of those, all right? Because they're a little off there, right? There's ostriches. Aren't they cool? Check them out. My wife didn't like them, as you could see. And there's one on a nest. Talk about that in a second. Go back a little bit more. There's another one sitting here walking around. And we even went ostrich fishing. Nice, huh? And then one more. There it is. All right, so there we went. All right, we went to the ostrich, Rooster Cogburn's Ostrich Ranch. It was like my wife's greatest fear because she hates those things, and which is probably why I went. But we went, and we had a great time. They had all kinds of ostriches, and we learned a lot about ostriches, and if you can learn a lot about ostriches. But when we got home, we went, and the next day, I was in my Bible reading in Job, and I read this passage of Scripture, and it just jumped out at me because of where we had just been. All right, so if you are there in Job chapter 39, let's stand as you read the Scripture real quick. In Job chapter 39 and in verse number 13, all right? Job chapter 39 and verse number 13. Now, God is talking to Job. Job didn't understand why all this had happened to him. He's kind of at his wit's end, not sure what to do. And God begins to speak to Job now. Now, his friends had tried to comfort him. They failed. Job kind of said, you know, some words, but still, he just didn't understand. And God was speaking to him. We're jumping right in the middle of what God was speaking to Job. In chapter 39, verse 13, it says, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifted up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider." We're going to look tonight on why God told us to consider the ostrich. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. I know you spoke to me in it. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us as we share this evening. I pray that, Lord, you just go before us already and prepare our hearts. As was already prayed, if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray tonight would be the time of their salvation. Lord, I pray for each one of us as we read the Scriptures tonight that it would speak to us, that we would learn and grow thereby. And Lord, we love you, and in your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. So it looked at this, and God told Job, in a nutshell, chapter 39 and 40, God told Job, "Job, you'd have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me." And I don't care who you are, there's times in our lives that we may not ever have an answer, but we're just going to have to trust God. There's times that we go through things and difficulties that we don't understand it, but we're just going to have to trust God. Even at the end, in Job chapter 42, when Job is through everything, his words are this. Well, turn over there real quick. See the end of this in chapter 42. Job finally, after God speaks to him and says, "Job, you're going to have to trust me." Job finally answers in Job 42, verse number 1, he answered the Lord and said, verse 2, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Now, he is referring to the fact that he lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost his farms, his barns, everything, his own health. And his response and where he comes to the point is, God, I do trust you. And it's hard for me to grasp these things, and what a phrase, too wonderful for me. Do you see his faith in those words? He still didn't quite grasp why all of that had happened, but he knew that God only had wonderful intentions for him. And he trusted God that through everything that he went through, he knew this, that it was too wonderful for him to wrap his mind around. That's quite a statement. You go through what Job went through, and you'll have a hard time saying those words too. But he said, things too wonderful for me to understand. Now, in the midst of God changing Job's heart, he used the ostrich as an illustration. The ostrich in the Bible is only used two times, right here, and then in Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 3, when it talks about some of the cruelest things that are out there, it talks about dinosaurs and the ostrich, all right? They're just mean, nasty, angry, cruel beings. That's why my wife doesn't like them, all right? All right? And if you see those pictures, they look that way, all right? Especially when you're up close and you're holding something to feed it, and it's like, ah, all right? You're just, meh, all right? They're not friendly, all right? But when we went ostrich fishing, that was one of the coolest things ever. They give you a pole with a line on it, and then one of those big clips, like you clip like potato chip bags with orange slices in it. And then they grab that orange slice in the clip, and they don't let go. And you just wrestle that bird, man. It is awesome, all right? That was one of the coolest things we did, all right? But in any case, they fought, man. They would not let go. You feel like you got a 20-pound bass on there, man. But it's a big ostrich. In any case, right? They're mean. They're cruel. They're ugly. They're vicious. When we walk by the nest of that one to show us how mean it can be, one of the keepers aggravated it, and it got its wings all spread out and started stomping and hissing, and it was kind of scary. All right. We were in like a bus thing, and I still kind of, all right, let's go. It's just nasty, nasty creature. So why did God tell Job? Why did he comfort him by saying, look at the ostrich? I mean, that's what he did. He used an ostrich to calm Job. Now, why would that be? Let's consider the ostrich. Number one, just three things real quick tonight. Number one, God as the planner. God as the planner. Look at verse number 13. It says, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacock. Now, everybody's seen the peacock. Down at the Cincinnati Zoo, they have a peacock that always runs around. It's a beautiful bird. The feathers on a peacock are just gorgeous. I mean, when you see the feathers and it's all fanned out, I mean, everyone takes pictures. It's one of those things. Everybody's just like, oh, that is awesome. And they all sit there and take pictures of the peacock because the feathers, the symmetry, the designs, the colors, they're vibrant. They jump out. It's just a beautiful thing to look at. No one has ever walked up to an ostrich and said, that is beautiful. Let me take a picture. It hadn't happened. But with the peacock, it is. And God said, now, Job, who gave the peacock their beautiful wings? Well, God did that. God did it. And then he says in verse number 13, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich. It's not pretty. It's ugly. You go up to an ostrich and you look at it, there's nothing to see. I mean, really, most people are like, ugh, right? Brother Ben, can you give me an ostrich back up there, right? I mean, look at this, right? Go a little bit more. The one with my wife is the best one. Yeah, look at that, all right? Sorry. She's like, I can't believe you did it. All right, go to the next one so I don't get in trouble, all right? All right, so look at that thing. I mean, they're ugly. They're not pretty. They're just a disgusting creature. Who gave them their wings and feathers? God did. The ostrich. It can't fly. It cannot fly. It'll flap its wings. It'll stir up a bunch of dust. It cannot fly. So why in the world did God give it feathers and wings? Humanly speaking, that's a mistake. It can't fly. So did God make a mistake? Did God make an error when he designed the ostrich? I mean, we know as Christians, we're like, well, no way. I mean, God never makes mistakes. Amen? So why did he give it the ostrich the feathers and wings if it didn't fly? Some of you that are into deep biology are probably like, I can answer that, right? But most of you are like, I have no idea, right? I mean, why would that happen? And humanly speaking, for the normal person, you're looking at it and say, well, that's kind of a waste. And God is using this to say, all right, Job, who gave the ostrich its beautiful feathers? Well, you did, God. It's beautiful to look at. Who gave the peacock? Who gave the ostrich its feathers and wings? Well, you did, God. It's not pretty. Different. The feathers are very boring. You can go off of it, so to look at me instead of that, right? They're boring. They're grayish brown. They can't really, the feather is made different. We learned a lot about these ostriches. It's made different. It's not like a regular bird feather. They use it for dusting and things like that because of the way the feather's made. It's different. It doesn't seem to have a purpose on that bird. It's useless. I mean, what possible good can the ostrich that God designed it to be, what possible good could that be? That's what God is telling to Job. Now, why would he tell him this? Because Job is scratching his head and saying, why did God do this? Why did God take my children? Why did God, take away all my possessions? Why did God allow me to have these boils? Why did God allow, my barns to be blown down by a tornado? Why did these things happen? Why am I sitting here scraping the boils off of my flesh? Why am I suffering? Doesn't seem right. God, did you make a mistake? Sometimes we look at situations in our life, and because things are different, things are not like other people, because things aren't as good, because things aren't as sharp, because things don't smell right, because things don't look right, because they have wings, we look at people, well, that person can't walk. Maybe your child struggles with a health issue and they're not like other children. And you look at things and you say, well, did God make a mistake? Why this? Why am I going through this? And the fact is, God was telling Job, who made the ostrich? And the answer to that is what? God did. Did he make a mistake? No. Who put you in the situation where you're at tonight? God did. And he did not make a mistake. He did not make a mistake. He is the master designer. We live in a world today. Listen, God formed man the way that he formed man on purpose. And by the way, he formed male and he formed female. He did not make a mistake when he formed you. He did not make you a man, but make you a woman on the inside. That's what the world is saying. No, he didn't. God didn't make a mistake. Isn't it funny that we try to force to try to accept people for what they are when they can accept themselves for what they are? Think about that for a second, all right? That's where we live. When God formed you, he knew what he was doing. God made some a picture of health. Others struggle. But he didn't make a mistake. He made some that are just geniuses and some that struggle to make a D. But he did not make a mistake. He made some people where they can throw a football half a mile. Some people don't have an athletic bone in their body. Right? We're sitting at dinner on vacation talking about camp. I'm talking about we played a game, Alaskan baseball, right? Yeah, Alex is already smiling, right? And Alex is like, well, it wasn't fair because our team, our guy couldn't throw the ball very far. And we lost because he couldn't throw a ball very far. I was like, that was me. He was like, oh, yeah, well, I can't throw one that bad either, right? And he tried to cover, but yeah, it was me, right? But it's true. I can't. It's me and Brother Roberts. Brother Roberts can throw a football a lot farther than I can, right? But the fact is that he didn't say, oh, yeah, all right? No, yeah. Miss Donna's like, oh, yeah, all right? Thanks, Miss Donna, all right? No, but the fact is this, God made everybody different. Everybody, no one, there's no cookie cutter. And maybe you're struggling in certain areas when other people aren't. God did not make a mistake. Maybe your family is going through something that other people are not going through. God did not make a mistake. Everybody's has been designed and God is in charge. You say, well, I don't think it's fair. Neither did Job. And if ostriches were smart, and if ostriches could talk, they would look at the peacock and the eagle and say, that's not fair. So did God make a mistake? No. You see God as the planner. But then number two, you see God as the protector. Now, again, Job is saying, why, God, is this my lot in life? It's not fair. And God is saying, Job, trust me. I know what I'm doing. And then we see God as the protector. In verses 14 to 17, it's very interesting to read. It talks about an ostrich, and it gives these four verses on an ostrich and its eggs. Now, when we were there, and you saw the picture and we showed it, they had an ostrich there, but if you checked out the picture, matter of fact, can you go back again, Ben, to the picture of the ostrich in the little bin with the eggs, all right? Ready? Right there, all right? Now, you'll notice something, all right? You say, oh, how cute. There's an ostrich taking care of its eggs, right? It's a good mommy ostrich. What you'll see if you look real close is there's a fence around that because the ostrich doesn't want to stay there. The ostrich has no intention. That is a planned picture to show people when they drive by on this tour what an ostrich nest looks like, which is just a facade. Because you remove that wire fence, the ostrich is gone. It could care less about its babies. Doesn't care. It would run away. It has no maternal instincts whatsoever. And God brings us up. Look now, you can get rid of that, Ben. Look at the verses again in verse number 14. Which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear because God hath deprived her of wisdom. You know what this eagle does? Or eagle. You know what this ostrich does? It doesn't make a nest. It just lays its eggs in the dust. They're found in Africa. They're found in, that's why they do well in Arizona, hot desert areas. They leave the eggs on the ground. If that bird is kept there for real, you know what it's going to do to those eggs? It's going to stomp all over the egg. Doesn't care. It is it leaves and lets the ground take care and warm the egg. It has no instincts at all to take care of it. Wild beasts can come in, and they do at times, and find these eggs and crack them open and eat them. Now, what is God telling to Job in all this? Job knew this. Job knew about the ostrich. Job knew the ostrich could care less about its young. Job understood everything that was being said. What does that have to do with Job? Here's the answer. This has been going on for thousands of years. Job, by most people's accounts, is one of the oldest books in the Bible. So this has been going on for thousands of years. Ostriches have no intention on taking care of their young. Yet, they're still here. Look on an endangered species list. They're not on there. They're thriving. There's all kinds of ostriches. Some places in the world, you can hunt them. You can eat them. Tastes like chicken, I hear, right? No, I have no idea, right? They're not endangered. Now, how in the world does a bird that just leaves its eggs in the middle of anywhere, open to all wildlife, lets the world and the earth just kind of warm it up, if it steps on it, it breaks it? How in the world are there still ostriches? What's God saying to Job? I can take care of them. There is only one logical reason why there's still ostriches. Because God's watching over them. That's what God's telling to Job. Because physically speaking, humanly speaking, there's no reason there should be ostriches. But they're everywhere in their areas. And God is telling Job, you know how an ostrich treats its eggs. But they're still there. Why, Job? One answer. God takes care of them. Job, you don't understand why you're going through this. But does God know what he's doing? Yes. If God can take care of these bunch of ostrich eggs, is God going to take care of you? You better believe it. God will take care of you. And I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know how this applies to you. Maybe you're frustrated at God because things aren't normal in your life. Maybe there's something, it can be anything. It can be because my poor wife, because she's married to me, right? Maybe it's that. Maybe it's because of something going on in your family. Maybe a certain, sickness is in your family. Maybe you struggle in things that other people don't struggle with. Did God make a mistake? No. Can God take care of you? Yes. I also, real quick, because I can't leave it without mentioning it, you see a really good point here about raising our children. If you'll grant me 5 minutes. The ostrich does a terrible job taking care of its young. Can you agree on that? We just read it. What does it do that's terrible? Look at it with me real quick. Verse number 14, it leaves her eggs in the earth. You know what she does? She lets the world take care of her kids. Y'all follow me? She lets the earth take care of them. Friends, the world has no business raising our children. And we as parents need to be very careful about letting the world raise our children. We allow filth in our home. We allow junk in our homes. We let all the world's music in our home. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, you ought to keep that junk out of your home. Amen. Keep the filth out of your home. Keep the nakedness out of your home. Keep the booze out of your home. Keep the drugs out of your home. Keep the world's music out of your home. Well, y'all quieted down on me on that. Amen. Keep it out of your home. You allow all this junk in, and I'm telling you what you're doing. You're giving place to the devil. And you give him place, and he will love to run wild in your home. So it's no big deal. It ain't going to affect them. The world will destroy your home. It will destroy my home. And when you allow these things into your home, you say, well, the ostrich does it, and it's okay. Well, I'll run to the end of this. The ostrich has the tiniest brain in all of animal kingdom. It's a bird brain. It's a nimwit. It's an idiot. You have something. You have knowledge. You have a book. You know what to do. Don't be as stupid as an ostrich. Amen. When you let the world raise your kids, you're being as dim-witted as an ostrich. He lets the world raise them. Doesn't put any protection around them. In verse 14, and warmeth them in the dust. No walls of protection. There ought to be some separation in your home. There ought to be some walls about you, that there's some things that do not come into this house. There are some things that we do not participate in. There are some things that because we're God's children, we stay away from it.
Yes.
We don't allow these things into our home. We're not going to let the world just go and take over things. There's no protection. You'll notice in verse number 15, it crushes them. If given the opportunity, it says, forget it that the foot may crush them. The ostrich is a really big bird. They're huge. You saw the pictures. Taller than my wife, right? Big bird. That big old massive foot steps on those eggs. It can harm it. Destroy it. That's why I think God sends it packing. As soon as the egg is laid, the ostrich leaves. We as parents, if we're not careful, parents, look at me. You use the wrong words. You let anger in your life. You humiliate, demean, over-criticize, call names. You will crush your children. You call your children idiots. You lose your temper and throw things, yell at them. You're putting your children in danger. So that's just my personality. You're as dim-witted as an ostrich when we do that. That's what an ostrich does. And before you go around and brag about it, understand what you're comparing yourself to. You can crush them. It's exposed to enemies in verse number 15. Wild beasts may break them. That ostrich, when it lays its eggs out there, it's open. Now, God made the ostrich egg, by the way. It's an amazing shell. It is very durable. It's amazing how thick it is, strong it is. Most creatures, and how big it is, most creatures can't, because God made it that way to protect it. But there are some, those big warthogs and things like that. They'll go, drive their tusk into it, break that thing open and eat it. Destroy it. You let the wrong people around your children, you're doing the same thing as the ostrich. You allow your friends, the Bible still says, evil communications corrupt good manners. And when you allow people that are wrong, which, why, by the way, be very careful who your children are buddy-buddy with and friend with. You better know who they're talking to. You better know who they're chatting to. You better know who they're instant messaging. You better know who they're sending messages to back and forth on media. You better know these things. I think sometimes, and it's just natural, not in any way saying anything about my kids. They're just kids. And I'm sure sometimes they probably get frustrated that dad sees every message that they get. You know, oh, you saw that, dad, right? But I tell them, because they're kids, but I tell them, it's on purpose. Because I want to see who they're speaking to. Someday, when they have families of their own, they will fully grasp this. I didn't when I was a kid. But I do now. The danger that is out there. There are wild beasts that are out there that would love to destroy me, my wife, and my children. You sit there and say, well, I'm just going to trust them and let them. They can surf the internet. I'll never check anything. They can do whatever they want to. You're lining yourself up with the ostrich. Go ahead. It's going to be okay. Any wild beast out there will take the first advantage it can to destroy. It leaves it open for enemies. Verse 16, it ignores them. It says that she is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Mom and dad, spend time with your kids. Spend time with them. I know we all live very busy lives. We all do. But man, stop every once in a while. Have a conversation with your children. Do something with your kids. Play a game with them. Take them somewhere. Get a McDonald's 59-cent cone together. Sit down and have some conversation and time. Be involved in what they do. Amen. We got a lot of young families. Isn't that a wonderful thing in our church? Parents, don't ignore your kids. You say, well, I got my life, they got theirs. You're lining yourself up with a really dumb ostrich. She ignores them. And she's just foolish. Verse 17, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. You ever heard the phrase, a bird brain? Ostrich. Teeny, teeny little brain. God designed her that way. Isn't that something? God designed her that way. You and I were not designed that way. God gave us wisdom. God gave us knowledge and understanding. God gave us what we need to know. If you sit there, I'm going to take the ostrich approach and let God take care of that. God told you to take care of that. God told you to raise your children and to teach your children. So you see God as a planner, God as a protector. Number three and lastly, God and his plan. Now he's encouraging Job in all this. I hope you see why. I love verse number 18. We're all done. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and the rider. Job says, I don't understand, God, why this is happening. I don't understand why I went through this. God says, Job, you can trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know how to create. I know how to take care of things. Job, I will take care just as I take care of those eggs. I will take care of you. And Job, I want you to think about one more thing. Everybody with me? Job, when that ostrich is living its life, when it's lifted up on high, you know what that ostrich is doing? He paints a picture, God does. Job sees it immediately. A man on his horse, taking off. Imagine us going in the field back there tonight, somebody riding a horse, hits the side of that horse, tells that horse to take off, and that horse is running full speed right back through that field. That guy's holding on, running out through there. But Job, you know what I created that ostrich to do? Run like nobody's business. And when that ostrich is in its element doing what I designed it to do, it runs past the horse and turns around and laughs at the horse. That's what the Bible says. Read the verse again. I mean, here's the man on the horse. The ostrich runs past it and laughs. Everybody read the verse? You're all staring at me really weird. Brother Davis, read that verse again. Verse 18, real nice and loud. See it? It flies past the horse and the rider. It is living life. It is happy. It is rejoicing. You know why? Everybody look at me. Because it is accepting and doing what God designed it to do. We all are created differently. We all have issues. We all deal with different things. God made some as peacocks. He made some as ostriches. He made some healthy, some not healthy. Some super smart, some that struggle. Some that have personality, some that don't. He created every one of us with different things and different avenues. And I'm telling you, he did not make a mistake. And he will take care of you. And you will find joy in life when you accept God's role in your life and you hit it with all you've got. you will find out what life is all about. When you embrace God's will and say, I don't know why. Maybe I'm sick. My other person my age is not. But I'm doing my best. And I'm going to run with this. God will use it for His glory. The problem is this. The problem is we're like a bunch of ostriches many times that are pouting because we're not like the peacock. We're walking around half the life and we're sitting there saying, well, why are they have beautiful feathers? Then we walk around a little bit farther and we see the eagle in the sky and we say, why can't I fly? They're flying. Why can't I? We sit there and we go by just like the ostrich, and it, you know, if you compare it with the mind of, say, another creature, like, you know, an elephant never forgets, right? You know, it's proven what a mind and memory that has. That ostrich can't even begin to compare itself. Can't even pronounce elephant, right? I mean, they have no idea. And when we go around life sad, because God didn't design me like that. When God says, no, wait, I didn't make a mistake. I will take care of you. You, New Testament, run your race. And when you accept God's place for your life and you run it with all you've got, you will then find joy. You will then find fulfillment. You will then find peace. You will then find happiness. You will then find what life truly is about. Said it this afternoon at Hope, God didn't just give us life. He said, I give you life and life more abundantly. You wanted a picture of abundant life? It's the ostrich flying past a horse and its rider. I can't fly. I can't even think that well. I'm the ugliest bird on the creation. But I sure can whip you, horse. Because that's what God designed it to do. And yes, you may have things that you maybe can't do that others can, but I got news for you. You can do what God told you to do that other people can't do. It's called accepting God's will for your life. Father, I pray that, Lord,